Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen, and we are sponsored by Jiffy Lube, hanging out with you until noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and Casey. Still just me and James, no Joe yet.
No Joe yet.
Joe Brazil. Show felt better with Joe on it. I'm just saying.
It would have been really nice if, like, we had, like, it was chaos. Like, yesterday was total chaos. Mm-hmm. I thought Joe did a really good job managing a chaotic situation.
He absolutely did.
Yeah.
Because stuff like that in radio, where, so, without getting into the weeds of it, I was in San Francisco yesterday. They set me up in San Francisco, the Odyssey Studios there, to be able to do a show that fed back through our studio here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I was able to do radio from San Francisco. But it's like complicated. It's not just push a button and go. There's all sorts of stuff. And that is the type of day where it's hectic and he had this, he had the live show that he had to board up. And that is the kind of day that makes people, because I've seen it before in radio, where they're just like, this ain't for me.
Oh, yeah.
This is, I don't want to deal with this. I thought it was just going to be turn the mics on and talk. I don't want to do all this. So not only did Joe do a great job yesterday, from everything I could glean, mm-hmm. you were here, so yep. I'm going to believe you, but everything I could glean from where I sat, Joe did a great job, show went smoothly, and then I get a text from Joe later that's like, that was awesome. And it's like, dude, he loves it.
All right.
He's here for it, and we're here for Joe, so hopefully someday, very soon, Joe is the third person on this show, so we can say, hey, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. And then we can say this. I've always wanted to say this. I've never gotten to say this on a radio show before. And say Joe Brazil behind the glass.
Oh, there it is.
Behind the glass, Joe.
That would be nice.
It'd be really nice.
That would be very nice. Yeah, it just takes the stress off of you and allows us to like kind of free flow a little bit better.
Do you understand how much less stressed I would be in the mornings?
Oh, yeah.
If I didn't have to do all this, too?
Yeah.
If I could just throw it a break and somebody else is pushing the buttons? Huh. That'd be so nice.
Even yesterday, I forgot that you couldn't hear all of them, all of the intros and stuff. And then I'm like, oh, wait. Oh, I got to point at you.
Yeah. I'm just like waiting on you. Intro's done. Just nobody's saying anything.
Went great.
Had such a good time. And salute to everybody. Seth, Jonathan, for getting that set up. And then Tim Jordan and Matt Nahagan back there at 95.7 The Game helping me out as well. Really appreciate their assistance. Let's put a pin in the NFL briefly.
Yep.
We've got other stuff to get to. I want to revisit our keys to the game from last night. Coming up at 11:30, we will revisit mad props from the weekend. We'll find out who won week one between James and myself. That'll be the other great thing about having Joe on the show, is we can add a third person to mad props.
Oh.
Yeah.
That, and he can keep score.
Yeah, he can keep scoring. Dude, we're going to just make him do everything.
That's right. He can cut the video, put it up on the internet.
It's going to be awesome. So we have plenty more to get to from the 49ers-Jets game last night. But there was some Sacramento Kings news, some coaching news on that front. James Hamm of the Kings Beat, kingsbeat.com, and the Kings Beat podcast. Subscribe wherever you get your pods. Take it away.
Yeah, the Sacramento Kings announced their promotions and staff updates yesterday. Jay Triano has been promoted to the associate head coach. Of course, he's replacing Jordy Fernandez.
That was expected, right?
I don't know if it was expected. I didn't know if they were going to have an associate head coach, but I think that not every team has an associate head coach.
Sure.
And it felt like Jordy Fernandez, because he was leaving a really good situation with the Denver Nuggets to come to Sacramento, that maybe you were giving him a larger title than just assistant coach.
Sure.
So that's a big deal. It just, you know, Jay Triano, I think, he's a breath of fresh air. He's super funny and super cool. Like, I really like Jay. He's been around the game forever. He's got a good feel. He's one who's orchestrated that incredible offense. So he gets a bump to associate head coach, which doesn't really mean anything for him on the bench. They also, the press release doesn't mention Doug Christie or Luke Laux, which I think upsets some people for some reason, because they're not
mentioned.
I'm
furious.
It just means that there's nothing to report on them, that they are just doing basically the same thing that they were doing last year, except for Luke has been elevated to the front of the bench. but that's not something you typically would press release that someone has become.
He's going to sit in a different chair this year.
He gets to sit in the front row, not in the second row at an NBA game. On top of that, Jawad Williams, who, from what I know, the Kings really like, he's been elevated to an assistant coach / director of player development.
Summer league coach, right?
Yeah, for one of the teams. Doug had one team.
Cal Classic coach.
Yeah, and Jawad had the other team during the Cal Classic. Jawad is basically, it sounds like he's going to take over for what Dutch Gately was doing because he's the director of player development. Charles Allen has been promoted to player development coach. Dip Mistry is now, Dip is awesome. He is now the head video coordinator and player development coach. We have a couple other guys. Sam Longwood has been named an assistant video coordinator. Shannon Goldman has been promoted to a video assistant. And then they announce Ricardo Foyce and Jim Morin have joined the staff as assistant coaches. So,
welcome Ricardo and Jim.
Yeah, Ricardo and Jim, they're the big names of this whole thing. Realistically, Jay Triano getting his bump is cool, but Ricardo Foyce, which we had a couple of... I was in Cabo for one of those, and I think Jim Morin, I was in Cabo again for another one of those. But yeah.
The Kings just wait until James Ham's in Cabo, and then they're like, wait, sign a coach!
That's right. Exactly. So at least we have the coaching updates are done, and that's a good thing for the Kings. Everything's kind of in place.
Sweet. Yeah. Very good. What's the next, before we get back to football, what's the next Kings thing we can kind of expect now? Just camp?
Yeah, training camp.
No.
Yeah. No. I mean, I think they did add a player. I believe they added a player last week. Chris Haynes reported that they may have brought in a point guard.
Yes, good.
I can't remember, to be honest.
As long as they're working out more guards, we know they're heading the right direction.
Free agent guard Terry Taylor has reached an agreement on a camp deal with the Sacramento Kings, according to Chris Haynes. So that's another player. So I think they're up to 19. You can carry up to 21 in camp, all the way up until the end of camp, including your two-way players. So they're at 18 or 19
going
players.
The roster.
19, 20 players, something like that. Yeah, so this is a camp invite, what they call an Exhibit 10 contract.
Cool. Right on.
That's all.
Very good. That's your Sacramento Kings update. If there's any more news, we'll have it for you, but we're not expecting much until training camp starts. And then, of course, we'll be all over it right here on ESPN 1320 with the insiders, me and James, and then D'Lo and Casey, of course, will be on it as well. So keep it locked in here to ESPN 1320, whether you're listening on the radio, the free Odyssey app, or maybe you're listening, watching us on YouTube and Twitch, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Thank you, everybody who is watching there, whether you're participating in the chatty house or not. Thank you to all of you except for Manny. all right. Niners yesterday, we had some keys to victory.
Mm-hmm.
I want to run back through the keys. This is always a good exercise. Because for me, going back through keys to the game gives us a good gauge of like, what did we expect? And then what did happen? And how can we adjust expectations moving forward from there?
I think it also like lets people know whether we are complete buffoons who have no idea what we're talking about on the radio or whether we actually have some sort of feel for what we're watching.
Don't get it twisted. I'm a buffoon who doesn't know what he's talking about on the radio, but a blind squirrel and all that.
That's right.
All right. So key number one for you, James, what was it and how'd you feel about it after the game?
Key was come out healthy, a little scary with CMC, Williams and Ayuk missing so much time. Overall, like the fact that Christian McCaffrey didn't play, which we didn't know about, but I think Ayuk and Trent making it through the game is great. The fact that Trent Williams had to go get an IV in the middle of the game is like very Trent Williams-esque. It's like, hey, look at that. He's going to get an IV and coming back out.
That is a house-sized human
who
did not get a training camp, who had played 70 snaps.
Yeah.
He needed an IV.
Yeah, yes.
That makes sense.
So I think that was good, but I also think that there wasn't a lot of other injuries coming out of week one, and that's typically... a really, really good sign, which you don't want to have happen in week one is lose two or three players long term and then you're scrambling.
My first key was get outside your tendencies. We saw it a little bit in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
We saw him start to air it out a little more. We see them do this all the time, use the run to set up the pass. You get a defense on their heels by run. And then Kyle Juszczyk's open. And then George Kittle's open. And that's just kind of how this offense works. I was actually kind of surprised that they came out and ran it the way they did. And I don't know if that was in the game plan or if the game script changed as they went.
Well, I think it changed.
And Shanahan went, hey, we're moving these guys around. We're just gonna keep leaning on this. But still, Brock Purdy, 29 pass attempts in a game where they won 32-19. I don't think they got outside of their tendencies as much as I thought they would. I thought we would see more first and second down throws from Purdy, but it was a lot of the run game, and why not? It was working.
Yeah, I think there's that, and adding to that, I think the like when you're talking about get outside of your tendencies, some of that means that you can't just kick a field goal every time, that you need to go for it on fourth and one here and there. Mm-hmm. You need to make the right, like we talked a little bit about, like the right blackjack play, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I still think that they played very safe. And like, why not? You were in a situation where you just kept scoring, so playing it safe was okay. I would have liked to have seen them push the envelope, because there were opportunities to get better as a team and to have real life game action where you could have got better and at specific things, or you could have tried new things, and they didn't do that.
Yeah.
And so that's okay, but you know.
Yeah, let's put a pin in that. I have a small gripe that I would like to get to later in the show, but I don't want to nitpick just yet. What was your second key?
My second key is let Purdy sling it.
Hmm.
And like, look, I loved it. I thought that if he didn't have the couple of drops, he would have had a perfectly like spectacular game where you're like, okay, you know, add another 30, 40 yards to his overall stats, and his stats just jump off the page.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought he was good. I thought that you were able to rely so heavily on the run, so you didn't need him to be a superstar, but that's okay. Like, he was, the fact that you were able to sustain 8 consecutive drives and score is a lot on the quarterback play.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I'm right there with you. Even if you just add in, let's just take it face value, because there's it's a butterfly effect, right? It's really hard to just say, well, if this play had happened, then here's how it all would have gone, because you never know. But let's just take it face value. Let's say Ayuk catches that touchdown. This is what the stat line now looks like, because it ended at 19 of 29, 231, no touchdowns, no picks. That looks pretty bland, right?
Mm-hmm.
But let's tack on a 25-yard touchdown where he's now 20 of 29 for 256 and a touchdown.
Looks a lot better.
It looks a lot better. So I think you could say that for a lot of quarterbacks. Drops happen all the time. Purdy was good. Forget the stat line for a second. Go watch the game. Save for one drive where he out of nowhere lost his mind for 3 plays.
Yeah.
I thought he was really, really good for the entire night. And they let him put it in the air 29 times in a game where they also ran it 38 times.
That's wild.
Yeah. Second key for me was secondary step up, and I think they did. Have you seen Aaron Rodgers' passing chart yet?
No.
Okay, I'm going to pull this up on the stream so everybody can see it, and then I will describe it for those of you listening on the radio. Because Josh Norris from Underdog Fantasy posted the Next Gen Stats passing chart for Aaron Rodgers. And this is, as I share it here on the screen, this is what it looks like. You'll notice there are 2 throws to the right, to Aaron Rodgers' right, to the defense's left. One of them is behind the line of scrimmage for, it would have been a screen pass. The other one is 5 yards down the field and right on the hash.
Mm.
Everything else is to the quarterback's left, to the defense's right. And that is because Charvarius Ward hangs out on this left side. This is where Charvarius Ward hangs out.
Yeah, that's wild. The one deep ball, the touchdown,
yep,
that goes to the right, that's on the broken play. That's, yes, where somebody jumped off sides. And
then everybody stopped playing.
Stupid.
Inexcusable.
Yeah.
Just really bad. More nitpicks. But yeah, there was a touchdown. That's not on, that wasn't on Ward. There was no action happening on this side of the field.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's related to Aaron Rodgers' Achilles. I think it's related to Charvarius Ward being a really, really good player and Rodgers not wanting to test him.
Yeah.
They lined up Garrett Wilson in the slot against Diamador Lenore a lot. And then they went to Alan Lazard quite a bit. But whoever Tre'Davious Ward was covering did not have a fun night. And that's largely the 49ers secondary stepping up. And they had to, because the pass rush wasn't very good, which is your third key, I believe.
Yeah, and I think, so my third key was pressure Aaron Rodgers nonstop. I didn't think they were good at all. And they had one sack, they had four quarterback hits. And a lot of the quarterback hits or the pressure that they got came at the end of the game when Tyrod Taylor was in the game. Like one of those hits where Bosa reached out and grabbed him but didn't get the sack. I going back to Aaron Rodgers' passing chart, I think that there's something that maybe will explain some of the reason why the Niners did what they did. They kept putting Bosa on the left side, and I didn't think it was effective at all. But you can see where they didn't pass to that side at all, and I think that's because they didn't want to put Rodgers anywhere near Bosa. So we looked at the snap count, right? And wasn't it like something like 29 on the of passing downs? Was it like 29-5 or something?
Yeah. So according to Pro Football Focus, let me get these numbers back up. I had closed them, but luckily we can get them quickly. Nick Bosa on pass rushes was on the right side of the defense.
Yep.
Offense's left side.
Yep.
So Nick Bosa was lined up over the left tackle 6 times. 24 times he was lined up over the right tackle.
Okay. And just so people know, the one sack that the Niners had, Bosa was on the right side. He put all kinds of pressure, and then Floyd got the sack. That to me, I don't know why they didn't do more of that, but it almost felt like they're trying to take away one side of the field.
Yeah, definitely might have been that. Bosa's typically bounces around a little bit. They'll matchup hunt with him for sure. They'll matchup hunt with all their defensive linemen.
Yeah,
that's part of the reason Chris Kocurek, their defensive line coach, is so good. I would be interested to know the impetus behind that, because maybe that was it, or maybe they thought Leonard Floyd was better on one side than the other. I'm not totally sure, but that was interesting last night for sure. They got to do something, man. Maybe Gross Matos coming back helps. But that's not going to solve the entire problem. Their pass rush was an issue last night.
Oh, no, totally an issue. Yeah.
So there are a couple plays I thought Rodgers left on the field. I thought he looked a little bit washed last night, but he's also 40 and coming back from an Achilles injury, so I'm not going to write him off just yet. But there were just probably 4 plays that prime Rodgers, you just got used to him making, and that he just didn't quite have in his bag. And again, maybe that's just rust and he'll get there, but... Overall, moral of the story, Niners pass rush didn't do enough.
No. And I would say with Rodgers, he also hasn't played with that receiving group, the running back group at all. You know, so he's got a learning curve here to get as he's coming back to the field. He didn't play in the preseason, all that stuff. So yeah, I want to see what he looks like in week 5, because by week 5, I think we'll know whether he's just completely washed or he just needed to shake off some rust and he could be back to who he was.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch for sure. Third key, as is going to be every single game for us. Got to win the turnover battle. And hey, 2-0, Niners win the turnover battle, Niners win the game. And they won all 3 facets, I thought.
They did. They won all 3 facets of the game, Kyle.
Hey, I will say, I little mea culpa here. I gave Jake Moody a lot of grief last year.
Oh, yeah. We both did.
Because he was the 99th overall pick, and all we heard about was how he's unflappable and he's so clutch, and they put him through all these situations, and oh, man, you just can't shake this kid. And then he goes for his first game-winning field goal in Cleveland and misses it. Like, tough. Really tough. And then the next week, indoors, in Minnesota... Niners trying to stick around in a game, he misses a field. Like, just come on, dude. But he got much better. He was really good in the Super Bowl, and then 6-for-6 last night.
Yeah, he was money.
He was really good. And having a reliable kicker is a pretty significant deal.
So
I'm still gonna give him grief for using the 99th pick on a kicker. That's insane.
It is insane. My son has decided to do the anti-Farrell Siddiqui draft. He has an entire football league. Fantasy football league based around they choose a kick returner, individual defensive players, and kickers. That's all they have. That's the
hell
whole league.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious because they've pumped up the kicking score.
Yeah, of course.
So like the guy who scored, who was it, the Dallas kicker? Who's that dude?
Dog.
What in the world?
We didn't talk about this yesterday.
What is that guy? A robot.
I was so mad, like irrationally mad. Not that I don't know what the right. I'm gonna say Matt when they lined up for the 71 yard field goal. Because they lined up for the 66-yarder.
Yes.
He makes it, but delay a game. So they back it up to 71, and it looks like they're going to try it. And I was like, yes!
That would have been so sick.
Do it! And then the coward's punt. Oh, I get why. Like, of course you're going to punt. You're not going to try that. Yeah, but the fact that they started to line up, and the fact that we've seen Brandon Aubrey comfortably hit a 66-yarder before, and then he had just hit another one.
Dude, he is like,
give it a rip. Give it a try!
He's such a robot too. You're like, I watched, like, they had a short field goal early, and the defense was sort of like close, and he just like walked through and drilled it. Like it wasn't just that he's a big leg. You could see he understood what was happening like in the moment and was like, oh no, I got to get rid of this ball. And again, just perfect right down the middle and just drilled. Yeah, this is like the age of the kicker, or week one was the week of the kicker. What do we have, like?
Bad QBs, good kickers.
Three kickers kick five or more?
That's insane. That's so many.
Including a bunch of 50s.
But I think that's a testament too, and we talked about the 49ers scored on eight consecutive possessions. That's awesome. You'd like to see those become touchdowns. That is where I think the week one of the NFL season comes in. Like, this is offense is still trying to iron out the kinks, particularly if your first team offense didn't play a lot, particularly if you have a young quarterback. That's what I think we're going to see differently kind of moving forward, is I think you're going to see a lot of these field goals become touchdowns.
Yeah, I think so too.
As offenses get up to speed.
I mean, either way, eight consecutive drives with a score is crazy.
Really good. It's really, really good. I have a nitpick about one of those field goals that we'll get to in the next segment after Mad Props. I'm trying really hard to not be nitpick guy today.
Okay.
But yesterday we talked about the vibes, right? And I said, man, I don't know about the vibe going into this game. And you said, hey, the vibe going in is way less important than the vibe coming out of the game.
That's right.
Did last night erase all the preseason stuff, all the stuff that we saw the 49ers deal with, all the contract stuff, the injury stuff, and all this? I know Christian McCaffrey's still hurt, but are the vibes back? Is the pall that was cast upon the 49ers during the preseason now gone?
I think it is. And there's also something that happened in the game, which I actually really liked. When Ayuk dropped the touchdown, right? You heard the murmur in the crowd.
Yeah.
You heard, like, there weren't, like, outright, like, super loud boos, but there was, like, a, come on, bro. And then you look on social media, and it was like, dude, 120, where are you? It was, like, pile on, pile on, pile on. And
good!
I thought, like, as far as, like, a vibes night, like, the vibes are so good, but no, there's still accountability for what you did. And you want to be the smug guy that makes a joke. Yeah, I was probably a little too hard on the team. Like all that stuff, that's fine. But you're going to have to own up to it when you make mistakes in week one that in another week could cost you the week. Yes. It could cost you home field advantage. It could cost you all kinds of things.
Dropping a pass is going to happen.
Yes.
That is just every receiver at some point in their career is going to drop a pass. It would have been a nice little catch, but that's a catch you expect Brandon Ayuk to make.
Yep.
You cannot be a pain in the ass about getting your bag and getting your money and then dropping a dime.
Yeah.
You cannot. That was a bar. You cannot. You can't do that.
Nope.
Get your money for sure. I want you to get paid. I want every player to make the maximum amount of money they can make in their careers. That is what I want. But you just mentioned, he said in his press conference, this is Brandon Ayuk admitted, this is not Adam Schefter saying it, this is not Ian Rappaport, this is not Matt Maiocco or Matt Barrows or James Hammer, Kyle Madsen saying this. This is Brandon Ayuk, who went to the podium and said, yeah, I probably made him a little more difficult than I needed to.
Yeah.
If you're going to admit that, okay. But when your quarterback throws a dot into the back corner of the end zone, you better come down with it, man.
That's right.
Or you're going to get the murmurs. If that... if Brandon Ayuk could sign his contract in June and he drops that pass, no one, I don't think anyone, you're going to have some people that are like, wow, what did he pay that guy for? But like, okay, go to heck. But if you're going to, did you hear Peyton Manning?
Yeah.
Peyton Manning was apoplectic. I thought I had another minute. We can't get to Peyton Manning here. We'll hear what Peyton Manning had to say about Brandon Ayuk's drop. Coming up next, we'll have Mad Props coming up next, and I want to nitpick.
That's right.
I've got a couple of just minor little things from last night that I want to nitpick on, and we'll have the handoff with one of D'Lo or Casey. I'm not really sure who. That's coming up next in about 15 minutes here on The Insiders. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Voice guys, say all that stuff again.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James there, Kyle here. Jiffy Lube everywhere. They sponsor the show. They're also everywhere around Sacramento. Visit JiffyLube.com today to find the location nearest to you. Here's Peyton Manning. We were talking about Brandon Ayuk at the end of the last segment. Here's Peyton Manning on the Manning cast as that play is happening and immediately after that play. Here it is.
Man to man, Jennings.
Oh, he got what a throw.
Ayuk, he's a little rusty, Pate. You know, he's missed all training camp.
Get signed, get in training camp. There's a reason for training camp. You need it. We need the reps.
Oh.
Get those contracts done earlier so we can get in training camp. We don't drop balls on opening night.
Right, it's probably one thing catching passes, running routes. All of a sudden, you're laying out for a pass, full speed, diving. That's, you know, that's why, yeah, those happen in camp. You make those, you practice those. That's just a little rusty right there.
You're still catching balls at a high school field from some quarterback that's 45 years old, my age. You're not catching balls from your quarterback. Get signed, get in camp, and we don't drop the ball.
Woo! That's it. That's the sentiment, I think, last night. I said this at the break. If he signed his contract in June, we're not talking about that play today.
No,
it's just the optics of, all right, you're a pain in the rear end to get your bag. Okay, that's fine. But then you got to go make that play, dog.
No, I agree 100%, man. Like, it's not an easy play. It's not, but you were open. You had the ball was perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, what a toss.
Really good throw.
What a toss.
Best throw of the night for Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
Let's nitpick, and then we can dive into Mad Props. Nitpick number one. Well, we talked about it a little bit. The Debo between the tackle stuff. 8 carries, 23 yards. He did have the touchdown. Nearly fumbled on the touchdown. Very reminiscent of his fumble in week one in 2021 against the Bears in Chicago. Again, I'm not going to complain about Debo. He's awesome. But like, dude, you got to secure the football. If you're going to run as physical as he does, and you're going to lower your shoulder, you got to secure the football.
I totally agree. And like, look, even the 1 yard touchdown run, I'm okay with that. What I don't want to see is 5 or 6 or 7
first and 10 at your own 30
between the tackles.
Yes.
No, yeah. Please don't do that.
Yeah.
Like he's too important to what you're doing. He's too important to the program and the longevity of this season. And he did too much work in the offseason to be in phenomenal shape to go out there and get a concussion in week one because you run him through the tackles. And maybe that happens, maybe it doesn't, but I just think they're lucky to escape without, that's just too much.
I kind of wonder if that was a product of the uncertainty with McCaffrey, and maybe they didn't know until Friday night, they're like, oh, hey, he's not going to play. All right, well, we have a walkthrough on Saturday. We've got to kind of scramble to put together a run game here. We trust Debo here. We're just going to give him half a dozen carries.
Yep.
And he winds up with 8. The big one for me, and again, this is I would like to. This is picking nits. The Niners played really well last night.
Yep.
If you're getting a week one performance where you're scoring 32 points and you feel like you left points on the field, you feel pretty good about it. I want to talk about the fourth quarter field goal from Kyle Shanahan on 4th and 1. So the about 10 minutes left in the game, 49ers up 26-13, 13-point lead. They're on the Jets 5. They have a 4th and 1. It's actually the Juwan Jennings catch. It didn't go for a first down. Set this one up.
Yep.
The Niners opt to kick a field goal. And that puts them up 16 with about 10 minutes to go. So now the Jets need 2 touchdowns and 2 extra points to tie the game. Two 2-point conversions. My mindset there And this is not related just to last night. This is a Kyle Shanahan aggressiveness thing that I've had an issue with for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people do. 26-13. You go for the touchdown there. So your odds, you're looking to pick up a 4th-and-1 on a night where you averaged, what, 4.5 yards a carry, 4.7 yards per carry?
Something like that.
4.7 per carry. You have George Kittle, you have Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, you have Kyle Juszczyk, you have Jordan Mason, who has been a hoss.
Running like a freight train.
You need a yard.
Mm-hmm.
You can go up 20. You can put this game away. 20 points at 10 minutes left, that's night-night, because now they need 3 touchdowns. Or you take a field goal and, okay, now they need 2 touchdowns. Basically, the odds are long for the Jets anyways, just based on how they were moving the ball last night. But if you don't get 4th-and-1, they're still backed up at their 5. They still need 2 touchdowns. Playing for overtime, playing for the possibility of overtime, like now it's a coin flip, right?
Yeah.
It's a long shot that they're going to score 2 touchdowns regardless, but okay, you put them in a position where now you're going to overtime. Overtime's about 50-50. Your chances of picking up that 4th-and-1 or scoring a touchdown are more than 50-50. So to me, that is a spot where, again, I understand the logic. I'm sure there are people screaming right now at their computers or their radios or whatever going, make it 2 scores with 2 2-point conversions. The Jets aren't getting that. You're basically, but like the it's, I'd so much rather go up 3 scores than be up 2 scores a little bit differently. I don't want to play for overtime, dog. I want to end this game. I would like this game, and that's exactly what would have happened if they went for a touchdown there.
Okay, so I'm with you 100% because I think that there are real-life game situations here that you probably need to work on, right? You can't replicate that situation in practice. You can try, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
So go get the 1 yard and show that you can do it. Like, and look at the time you're going to burn by getting that first down, mm-hmm. right? So that's one thing. At the same time, you're kind of looking at a team that's just rolling. Your kicker hasn't missed. He's been clean all night long.
Mm-hmm.
You know that this is going to basically put the game away.
Mm-hmm.
I get it, but it's too many times where you're too conservative in a moment where, like, there is an opportunity to just ice the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I think you and I both, like, if there is a fault to Kyle Shanahan, it is this type of thing right here.
Yeah.
Where it's like, look, you look at your card. You have a mm-hmm. card for all of this. You should know exactly what the odds are, what it is that you're looking at,
mm-hmm.
and you should make a decision based on that.
Mm-hmm.
What you don't do is go, hey, the dealer has an 8, but I think they only have a 7 hiding underneath,
mm-hmm.
and I've got a 6, so I'm going to sit.
Mm-hmm.
No, you sit, you lose.
Right, and that's and again, they kick the field goal, they go on to win. This is a larger Kyle Shanahan conversation.
Yeah.
Where they have this offense that cannot be stopped last night, and you have a chance to go for the juggler. Game is over if they score a touchdown.
Yeah.
Go for that. I get kicking the field goal, cool. Now they need 2, and now if they do score 2 touchdowns, they get the, well, now we even get overtime. Screw overtime, dude. I don't give a damn about overtime. Go win it right now in regulation. Go take that game. It's too many times we've watched Kyle Shanahan on 4th-and-2. Okay, we're going to settle for a long field goal here. Oh, 4th-and-1 at the 50. Yeah, we're going to punt here. It's the conservative stuff when you have this offense. Go watch the Chiefs. Go watch watch a full Chiefs game.
Mm-hmm.
Do not go watch the Chiefs in Super Bowls.
Or the Bills.
Against the 49ers.
Or the Bills.
Or like, the Bills. Or the Dolphins.
Long. Yeah.
When the Chiefs come out on 4th-and-2 at their own 49, you don't feel good about it as an opposing fan. It's like, ah, damn. You want them to punt.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't. And that's what I would like the 49ers to become. They have the personnel to do that. They have a quarterback who you can trust to make the right decision in that spot. They have the offensive personnel to go get you a yard, to go get you 2 yards, to go get you a touchdown. I would just like them to operate as though they are that and not that they're the freaking 74 Steelers.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. It's just you're too conservative all the time.
Yes, like, and this is an ongoing trend.
You have to actually show that you can mix it up and be someone different in a moment. And you have to, like, it's... try something. Like, it's, you got the game in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Just go out and put it away and make the conversation over, but also go out and get the reps. get the reps doing something. And you're right. Like, you got Juwan Jennings, who all he does is catch first downs. You've got Kittle. You've got Juszczyk you could somehow find in that. You got a running back who's just rolling. He's got like 140-something yards at that point. Like, you have too many options there where, you know, again, you're not risking a whole lot. But, hey, they won the game. And at the end of the day, I think that that's what matters. And, you know, so I get it.
Yeah, they won. And that's why this is a nitpick.
Yeah.
I understand the idea behind going for the field goal there. You take the points. You go up 16. I totally get it.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a mindset that I would like the 49ers to have differently.
Yeah.
That's all. All right. You want to do mad props?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, here we go. Mad props before we get to the handoff with one of D'Lo or Casey. Not sure which one. I should find that out before the show. Yeah. Which one of you guys is coming in today? That way I can properly promote it. But here we go, Matt.
It's time for Mad Props. Two games, two props. Which number will be higher? That's for Kyle and James to decide.
Yeah, it is.
Here's Mad Props.
All right, so typically we do a football game with a basketball game, but because there's no basketball just yet for about another month or so, we're doing two football games. So we did Niner game, Raider game, and we tried to cross-match the stats so it's not just quarterback versus quarterback, running back versus running back, et cetera, et cetera. So the first one was Brock Purdy pass attempts or Raiders points scored. We both had Brock Purdy pass attempts. This is Raiders points scored against the Chargers. We both had Brock Purdy pass attempts. That's a big winner. 29 pass attempts for Brock Purdy. Just 10 points for the Las Vegas Raiders in their loss to the Chargers. Number two, Christian McCaffrey touches or Gardner Minshew completions. You had McCaffrey touches. I had Minshew completions. McCaffrey obviously did not play. So we are going to strike that one, but Gardner Minshew 25 completions. If we went to Jordan Mason, it would have been 29 and you would have won, but that's not how the game works.
That's so, right.
It's a wash. Jake Moody made field goals or Max Crosby sacks. We both said Jake Moody field goals.
We were right, Kyle.
Max Crosby could have had 5 sacks, which he is absolutely capable of, and it would not have been enough. Jake Moody, 6 field goals. The fourth 49er kicker in history to make 6 field goals in a game. He joins Robbie Gould, who did it in 2017. Jeff Wilkins, I believe is his name, in 1996.
Yep.
And Ray Wershing. 1983. The next one down, Brandon Ayuk snaps or Vegas LA total points. We had 32 total points. I forgot to go check Brandon Ayuk's snap count, so I'm going to vamp while I do that right now. Thank you to NFL Jesus. Here we go. Brandon Ayuk played 43 snaps. Brandon Ayuk snaps is the winner there, 43-32. I won that one. I had Ayuk
snaps.
Yeah,
you got that one.
Yeah, hell yeah. And then the last one, two more. Niners Packers total points. This is the problem with Aaron Rodgers. I wrote Packers so many times. Niners Jets total points or Brock Bowers receiving yards. We had 51 total points for the 49ers and the Jets, 58 receiving yards for Raiders star rookie Brock Bowers. You and I both had Bowers in that one. Shout out to us. Last one. We had Nick Bosa pressures or Devontae Adams catches. We both went with Devontae Adams, and we have, ladies and gentlemen, a tie.
No. You had 6 pressures?
Adams only had 5 catches.
5.
He had 6 targets. Unless I have this wrong via Pro Football Focus, I believe Nick Bosa had 5 pressures.
Wow.
Let me go back and double check. Now you're making me rethink my pass rush. Nick Bosa, total pressures, 5 pressures. That is bang on the number. Shout out to me because we are just here guessing. So I win this week by virtue of the Christian McCaffrey DNP and the Brandon Ayuk snaps.
Yep.
Mm.
What are we? You're what, 4-1, and I was 4-1. You were 5-0.
Yes.
All right. We have to carry these stats into next week.
Well, you were technically, because we had one that didn't count.
Yeah. So we just removed that one.
So we just whack that one. Pause. And then we had the one that tied, which also doesn't count. It's a push.
Okay, so
that one gets wiped.
So 4-1-1 or 3-1-1?
2, 3, 4. I was 4-0 is how I'm going to count that.
Yep.
and
I was 3-1.
You were
3-1. Not bad.
I can't wait until Joe can keep track of this instead of me.
That's right.
So you were 3-1, 4-0. All right. Feel good about it.
Yeah. Oh, I think we did solid work there. And it was the first week, and we're dealing with Raiders, and we're dealing with, like, a weird time gap, and yeah, it was...
Yeah, next week will be better, because they both play on Sunday.
Okay, cool.
That'll make it a lot easier. We're going to have to do this tomorrow, by the way.
Tomorrow? Oh, because
yeah,
you're not going to
be
here.
Yeah, because I'm out Thursday and Friday.
Oh, you're out here Thursday, Friday, and Monday.
And Monday.
You're killing me, Smalls.
I know, bro. I'm sorry. I think I've explained this before. Me and my wife have a group of friends. There's six of us. All of our birthdays are between August 14th and September 26th.
Oh, that's a lot.
So we just, and two of the group, my wife and my buddy's wife are both turning 30 this year. So we're doing a little, little Disney trip.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Fired up.
You know what? My boys will be in Disney this weekend.
Oh, really?
No, my oldest will be.
My
youngest, he didn't get to go. He actually got a job, and so he can't go.
Hey, congratulations. Yeah. Nice job.
Yeah. Going to work in the clubhouse, sports lounge.
Oh.
Yeah, be a busser.
As one does.
Right down the street. It's a great first job. Well, first-ish job. So he's worked a little bit before at a restaurant.
Niners 32, Jets 19. 49ers going to Minnesota next week. Sounds like Christian McCaffrey might not play in that one. And this is something we were talking about earlier with Jordan Mason. If you had told me before that Christian McCaffrey was going to miss the first 2 weeks, I would have told you, if you'd said just before the season, McCaffrey's out the first 2 weeks, I would have said you're definitely losing to the Jets. And I would have the Minnesota game as a coin flip. But with the way Jordan Mason played last night, I feel so much better about it now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just think of, if you're Kyle Shanahan right now, you've got to be like, oh, my gosh. Like, you watch a running back in practice, and you know what he can do, but then the way that he runs, you can't really do that in practice against your own teammates all the time. Like, if you do that, then people are going to get hurt. So for him to step up, we did have a friend of the show, Nick Wagner. He has a quote from Shanahan today. The Achilles is tendonitis, and that stuff comes and goes. And when it's acting up, it's something you've got to be very careful about. Christian is very diligent about that stuff. And if it was a playoff game, he made it very clear to me he believed he could go. But when you hear that type of stuff and it's not a playoff game and it's week one, and especially when you're dealing with the lower extremities like that, it was a tough decision. But hearing all the words in the long run, it made it easy. Kyle Shanahan. So I get it. Like tendonitis, and you don't want to mess with an Achilles at all. Like if it's tendonitis, if it's like fraying of the tendon, like all that stuff, it can lead to bad things. And so, yeah, he's been doing a lot of work to try to get better. And sometimes that just agitates everything and makes it even a little bit worse. Hi, you're here.
I am. Sometimes you just try to prove a point. This mic sounds like crap, but if it sounds good in your ear, we could do this.
Sounds great.
Does it?
Yeah, it doesn't sound bad
at all.
Oh,
it's a new mic.
They switched the mic to your right, too. We didn't know if that was going to be up, but Jonathan just came in and dropped that mic.
Oh, he just did this now.
He just did it.
Oh, okay. I had no idea
he did
this.
You can go over there if you want.
Yeah, no, I had no idea he did this. I literally just told him.
Oh?
Yeah, I had no idea.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm very confused. I'm deeply confused.
I'm going to remove you.
I can explain it to you if you want.
We're going to add you to the stage. There you are. Hello.
So,
stand off of Damian Barling, everybody.
We were having with the microphone.
Yeah?
Yes.
The microphone. So yesterday when we came in at 7:30, I literally popped the microphone off, switched it with this one that's over here.
Work,
and it did. So, I don't know. Okay. Anyways.
This is my fault. I understand.
It's all good. It's all good. I had no idea Jonathan came in here, which is why I text you. We're down a mic.
I don't think whatever happened there, I don't think that mic is working.
Okay.
Oh.
That's okay. I'm sorry, Damian. That's a handoff. Oh, nope. And we're back.
How's this?
That's a lot better.
That's a lot better.
That sounds great.
We got a microphone?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
I got an intro playing. How's it going, man?
Good, man.
Impressed with the 49ers last night?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know what I'm most impressed by is I didn't think they were very good. I really didn't think they were great. Like, they settled for a lot. Like, Jake Moody, what did he do, kick six field goals?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Insane.
They left a lot out there. But I think a lot of things happened yesterday. I think the Jets stink. I think Aaron Rodgers is trash. And I think the 49ers capitalized on it. I think their offensive line was very, very good.
Yep.
Their defense was good. I think they picked up right where they left off.
That's kind of how it felt.
That's kind of my gut, is they just picked up right where they left off.
It felt like the field goal stuff was, okay, this is week one. Versus you went and watched, the Seahawks. The Seahawks did not look, oh man, they got some stuff to work out. But no, I think the Seahawks won, they just didn't look very good.
Yeah.
It felt like the Niners have ascending to do and steps to take forward.
Yeah, even like the Bears won, but they looked so horrible doing it. And you were like, oh, this is...
Yeah,
this
but is, for them, that doesn't matter.
Number 10 in the Ringer Power Rankings, by the way, the Bears.
The Bears?
Yes.
Okay.
I think they exist to piss this station off.
That's... All right, dude.
I think that's the new goal of that.
That
website,
is so
the Ringer
excessive.
Power Rankings.
That is so excessive. But for the Bears, though, it doesn't matter.
No, I get
the Bears winning like that is fine.
Yes.
If the 49ers had beat the Jets in the same manner, it would have been.
Yes.
All right. Mm. That is not particularly good. But the fact they put up, 32 without Christian McCaffrey?
Yeah.
And a little mishap with Jordan Mason in the post game. it's good. God, they really went at Brandon Ayuk yesterday and this morning. And Peyton Manning clip is a little bit excessive, but overall, I thought they were good. I thought they left a lot on the table. And man, if you're a 49er fan, I'd feel really, really good about where they are.
Yeah.
And their focus, you know, you worry about focus, all that. They picked up right where they left off. That's the best way I can explain it.
No doubt. D'Lo and Casey coming up next. They're going to rock with you until 4 o'clock. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Until then, drink water and be nice, people. Bye.